of the Park Avenue Church of Christ. Man, we want to continue to grow. We want to love one another as we are doing. We want to continue to grow in love and serving one another. Greetings to all of those joining us online as well. We're glad that you are with us, and it is certainly a delight and a joy to be together in the house of the Lord. We're going to be in John chapter 15 today as we continue looking at this farewell address that Jesus has with his apostles as he prepares them for difficult times ahead. But Jesus can see beyond the difficult times. He can see beyond his crucifixion. He knows that there are great things in store for the apostles. He knows that this kingdom of God that he's come to establish, I mean, it's just ready to burst open into the world. And this is so important as we struggle with difficulties in our own life, because sometimes we're just so short-sighted. We just see what's happening right now. We just see what's happening within the next week, and we can't see beyond that. And one thing that Jesus is calling his disciples is, look beyond what's happening right now. I mean, God is working, even though you may not see it. God is working in this world. And what may seem to be a very tragic event, the crucifixion of Jesus, this is actually God's plan. And I know that's hard to see, but to be able to look forward into what God is doing in our lives and in the life of the church as well. So let's have a prayer before we get into the Word. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you'd be with our hearts, souls, minds as we enter into a portion of your Word. Father, help us to embrace the meaning and the significance of this section of Scripture, that these are the words of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, help us as he speaks to the apostles. Father, help us also to hear him speaking to us, bringing us peace, bringing us assurance, bringing us purpose into our life. And Father, we're just so grateful for this word that has been preserved for us. Father, I pray for everyone here that your Holy Spirit may work mightily in their lives, and that we may produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so today we want to continue to talk about peace. We've been talking about peace a lot, haven't we? But we're looking at this section of Scripture where Jesus is with the apostles. As I said, it's just before his crucifixion. I want you to just reimagine, put yourself in their position, just the anxiety that they're experiencing, the unknown that they're facing, everything that's working against peace. And so Jesus gathers them together here in the upper room, and he just wants to speak words of truth into their lives so that they can experience a peace that passes understanding. There are a lot of things working against the apostles right now in the upper room, against them experiencing peace. And isn't there so much in our lives that are working against us? You know, sometimes it is so hard to be at peace. There's so much in this world that just wants to rob us of peace. We've got wars, we've got an election year, politics, illness, uncertainties. I don't know about you, but I've been getting a bazillion texts about who's running for what, and it's just, it's just robbing me of my peace. There's so many things working against us. One of the books that I've been looking at as I've been putting these sermons together is a book by Todd Hunter called Deep Peace, and he identifies 10 peace killers in our world. Fear, just being afraid of things. Anger, how sometimes we can just get so angry at people, and we think that that's bringing about the will of God in our lives. And so anger, not just the anger that we experience, but the anger that we feel imposed upon us by other people. Aggression, again, sometimes we feel that's the way to get things done. We've got to be mean, and we've got to be outspoken to the point that we don't care about people's feelings. We experience that in our jobs, in our lives, and sometimes we give in to that. We're not gentle with people, just this aggression. We give into that. Attachments. There's so many things that we're attached to in this world that are really depriving us of peace. There are things that we may enjoy doing, but they're not contributing to our spiritual development. And so some of the attachments in our life are robbing us of peace. Maybe there's some relationships in our lives. Pain, chronic pain, just that experience is something that works against peace. Unanswered prayer, the mystery of prayer, and why God sometimes responds affirmatively to those prayers, and why sometimes he doesn't respond affirmatively and just that tension that we have in unanswered prayer. Self-centeredness, wanting to have my own way, does that really bring you peace in your life? Does that bring you peace in your household? Does that bring you peace at work when we're self-centered? But that's a temptation that we have. Life online, we just spend way too much time being inundated with stuff that is just destroying us, isn't it? I mean, there's just so much. There's so much out there. Obsession with failure. Sometimes we can't get over the fact that we did that, or we lived that life, and so we don't accept the grace of God and move on with that and feel cleansed by the washing of the water, the washing of God's amazing grace. And so we're obsessed with failure, especially failure in the past. Fear of missing out. We look at other people and they have this, they have that, or they're doing this, they're doing that, and we're not doing that. We don't have this. And we feel like we're missing out on so much in our lives. But anyway, yeah, we could have sermons on each one of those, couldn't we, on those 10 peace killers. But I bring that up to let you know that living in peace is not always easy. It doesn't come naturally. And so we need to cultivate peace in our lives. We need to make sure that we're positioning ourselves to receive this peace that God wants to give us. And so what are we doing to cultivate peace? And I'm going to give you a few ideas later on in the sermon. Let's review our definition. We've talked about this a lot, the definition of peace, the supernatural capacity to maintain focus and identity. Let's not lose our minds. Let's make sure we remember what we're here for and who we are, in spite of troubles or even blessings, and in doing so, experiencing a calmness of heart and mind, pursuing a worthwhile purpose. And I'm really going to lean into that this morning, is that we are doing something very valuable as members of the kingdom of God. We're producing the fruit of God's kingdom. And so we're pursuing a worthwhile purpose, and we have confident assurance of a favorable destination. We can see way beyond what's going on. That's how Jesus started off this talk with his apostles. I've got a place prepared for you. So no matter what goes on here, you're good. You're good in the long run. We've been in John 14-16, the Upper Room Discourse, and using these two passages as launching pads for our discussion. Now, I've put some blanks in here because I hope that do I have some? I don't have the blanks. Do I have the right sermon in here? What's my next slide? Just go to my next slide. I'm confused. No, I've got last week's sermon in here. Wow. Sorry about that. It was a good one last week. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I apologize. Just put up the peace slide and we'll just work from there. All right? I'm thinking that because I thought I had blanks in there. Okay. I guess I can't do anything about it now, can I? You can follow along on the app there with the notes in there. But these two passages, John 14:27 and John 16:33, are the kind of the theme passages we've been using in this series on peace. And I'm just so mad because I worked so hard on these PowerPoints and it's not there. But that's not your problem, that's mine. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. All right, these are the words of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus as he speaks this truth into the lives of the apostles. In John 16:33, these are the last words of this speech. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, a tribulation. Sometimes some of the other translations have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I mean, Jesus is really preparing these apostles for what's about to happen, preparing us. So two truths that emerge out of this: Jesus is giving out peace, and he's told them these things so that we can have peace. And my mission throughout the sermon series is to try to help us identify what are these things that Jesus has taught us or spoken in this in this time that we can find peace. I want you to know, so open up your Bibles, and at the end of John chapter 14, I want you to know that there's a change in venue. They have left the upper room, and they're on the way. Jesus is going to pray. In John chapter 17, Jesus is going to be on the Mount of Olives, which is a hill just east of Jerusalem. And you can see, if you're on the Mount of Olives, you can see down into the city from the Mount of Olives. It's not really a long walk. It's at night. There's probably a new moon because it's Passover, and the date of Passover, in fact, the date of Easter also, is kind of determined by the cycles of the moon, and so there's a new moon. I'm hoping that it's a clear night, because that's going to play into some of the imagery that I want to share with you this morning. But they're leaving the upper room, probably on their way to this Mount of Olives, and the Garden of Gethsemane is halfway up the Mount of Olives. It's all right in that same section there. And so as they leave this upper room, we don't know exactly where the upper room is. There is a place in Jerusalem that they point to and say, this is the upper room. We don't know if that's for sure or not. But as they leave the upper room headed towards the Mount of Olives, they could probably see the temple that was there. And in the temple, there was an elevated section that was the entrance to the holy place, which led into the Holy of Holies. And on the holy place, there was engraven, and I had this awesome image of this in the temple. You can just imagine it. I'll try to, where'd you get that from? All right, let's give a big hand to our AV people. All right. Okay, all right. So this is a recreation. Of course, this temple was destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans, but based on accounts of Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, tried to recreate the temple. And so this is the holy place. You can see that, and it's a little pixelated here on the right. It's just a close-up, but there's these images of vines, branches, and grapes. Now, this was a theme often used in the Old Testament, where the people of Israel were referred to as the vine. They were representing God. They were producing the fruit of God in this world. Most often, this imagery that Israel is the vine is used in a negative sense, where God is saying, you're not really being the vine that you're supposed to be. But just imagine this. They're walking out of the upper room, they're going to the Mount of Olives, the full moon is illuminating this image right here, and Jesus is going to play off that motif, this Old Testament motif, as he begins in John chapter 15. So let me read to you John 15, 1 through 8. Again, the words of Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. And notice that word remain is going to be repeated several times in this section. Other translations, abide, remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. All right, Jesus is saying here, you are fruit bearers. We are fruit bearers. We are bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We are bringing God's goodness into this world. Our lives in Him mean something. And so instead of us, instead of the church and us individually, we are not peace killers, we are peacemakers. Because we are bringing things like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. We're bringing those things into this world, which are going to bring us this overall sense of peace. And this is what life is truly made of, this fruit of the Spirit. These are the qualities that God intended for us to always experience. Back in the Garden of Eden, that's what God intended for us, to live in this relationship with God, experiencing peace. This is the abundant life. This is eternal life that Jesus is talking about. This is being human in the way that God intended for us to be human. So what does this all have to do with peace? What are these things that Jesus is talking about? Peace is found in being fruit bearers. Peace is found in bearing fruit. There is peace in knowing that your life means something. Your life in Christ means something. If you're a coach, James, lost your voice coaching, but isn't there peace in seeing an athlete finally get it and succeed when your team bears fruit? There's peace in that. There's a sense of calmness in your heart. If you're a teacher, I know we have many teachers, isn't there a peace knowing that you're bearing fruit, that a student finally masters a concept that you've been teaching them? If you're an entrepreneur, isn't there peace in opening up the doors of your business, whether it be physical doors or online doors, whatever, and then seeing people enter into that business, purchasing your product and being blessed and enjoying your product? As a parent, isn't there peace in bearing fruit in your children as you see your children launch successfully into adulthood? If you're a counselor, isn't there a peace in seeing that you've borne fruit in a relationship being restored? If you're a healthcare professional, isn't there peace in someone's health being restored and you are part of that, bringing them back to the health that they desired? If you're a gardener, isn't there peace in bringing in the harvest? You go out and you see the things that you've planted actually grow and you see the fruit that is being produced. Doesn't that give you a sense of peace? Well, Jesus is saying to the apostles, that's what you guys do. You are bearing fruit, and there's peace in that. There's peace in seeing someone accept Christ. There's peace in seeing someone grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is saying this to his apostles, you guys are fruit bearers. You're making a difference in this world, and your dedication is going to be rewarded. Your work is going to have fruit as long as you remain in me. You know, sometimes it may not seem like it, but there will be fruit. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 55, who is speaking to a group of people who have not been bearing fruit, but he reminds them that if we are connected to the Word, if we're putting out the Word of God, that fruit is going to result from that. Isaiah chapter 55, 10 through 13. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. So he's envisioning an Israel that is dedicated, devoted to God. And as we're devoted to God, then we are nourishing the land. Good things are going to happen. When my word goes out, fruit is going to be produced. He continues this imagery in verse 13. Instead of the thorn bush, they will grow to juniper. And instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. Instead of all of these chaos, instead of this growth that produces nothing, good things are going to come when my word goes out. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. So fruit is being produced when we are disciples of Christ. When we're putting out the word, we have to have this faith and this belief that God is working in this world. But sometimes we need to train ourselves to see fruit. Sometimes it may just be small sprigs that we see. Other times it may overflow with fruit. But train yourself to see the fruit of your faithfulness. What I say next, I only say to the glory of God. I'm not going to say these things for to elevate this church to elevate what you particularly are doing, what any of us are doing. So what I'm going to say next is the glory of God. But I want to say this because as the minister of this church, I see fruit all over the place. And I want to commend you as a church that as we are living connected to the vine, there are so many wonderful things. You can see fruit all over the place. But sometimes we just don't see it because we have all this other stuff, all these other distractions. We see kids learning about God week in and week out on Sunday morning. We see fruit that's being produced as they go out to their classes. On Wednesday night, we see fruit all over the place. It's pretty wild fruit. If you're out in the ark on Wednesday night after church, there's so much fruit. The Word of God is being implanted into the hearts and souls of these kids. We see baptisms regularly. We rejoice with people who are giving their lives to Christ. We see this retreat, 38 couples, 39 couples away on this retreat. And yeah, they've paid some, but some of it has been financed by the church. We're able to do that for these marriages. We see fruit just being produced. We see people being fed through the Barnabas Center. We see small groups of believers studying the Bible. Some of you after church this morning or are gathering together tonight online, all over the place. People are studying the Bible. We see people delivering meals to the sick. We see people visiting people who are sick. We see people praying for those in need. We see people caring for the hurting. In the summer at CTW, our Christian Theater Workshop, we see 100 kids out there that are bearing fruit. In a few weeks, we're going to begin our prayer and fasting, and we're going to remind you of all of the missionary efforts that we are in part supporting as we throw out the Word of God, throw out the seed. There is fruit all over the place, church. God is working through this church. And again, I say that humbly. I don't say that to glorify us. We're fruit bearers. As a member of this church, we're promoting the kingdom of God. We're bringing the goodness of God into this world and preparing people to spend an eternity with Him. That brings me peace. We're working with God. Isn't that great? Parents, you're working with God as you have your kids here. Grandparents, as you are modeling discipleship to them, fruit is being born. And you know how you can see that fruit is being born? Because there are so many kids in this world that don't have godly influences in their life. They're not going to church. Their parents aren't teaching them about Jesus. Their grandparents aren't teaching them about Jesus. And we can see in so many instances, these kids are totally lost because they don't have that godly influence. And sometimes it's hard, but I want you to believe it. You, as godly parents, grandparents, this church, as we encourage our kids. And Jesus says, that ought to bring you peace, your life. You're bearing fruit. But we need to be reminded of this. Bearing fruit brings peace only as we are connected to the vine. We have to be connected to the vine. That's what Jesus says in verse 5. I am the vine. I am the source of this fruit, you are the branches. You need to remain or abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. All right? So that's a responsibility for each and every one of us to remain connected to the vine, and that's a responsibility for this church to be connected to the vine as well. It's so critical to be aware that this fruit is not of our own efforts. It's not us. It comes only as a person who is connected to the vine. Jesus says we can do nothing without this connection. And this connection must be maintained or we will wither away and be thrown into the fire. And again, that's an ongoing desire of this church's leadership. Let's stay connected to the vine. Each one of you must stay connected to the vine. So here are some things that you can do to maintain that connection. This is nothing you probably haven't heard before. But here is some advice that or a pattern or a plan for your life to stay connected to the vine. Do I have this up there? Here we go, all right, these three things. Begin the day with dedication. Get up in the morning, and man, you want to be connected to the vine. You want to make sure, God, I'm connecting with you today, and I want you to bless me. There may be some interactions that you're going to have that day with some certain people, and in interactions that you don't even know you're going to have. At the beginning of the day, God, I want to bear fruit. I want this to be a fruitful day. I want to bring love, joy, peace, patience into the lives of people around me, in school, in work, whatever it is, everywhere that I go. And so begin this day. God, I dedicate this day to you as a fruit bearer. I know that you can use me. And that should bring you peace. God has a purpose for you every day of your life, that you can bring fruit into this world. Throughout the day, invite the presence of God to keep you connected to the vine. Let me go back. I just thought of something driving here to church this morning, but beginning the day with dedication. I'm part of this small group of men, and there's one guy in our group who sends every morning, bingo, in my text messages is the scripture of the day. Every single day I get a scripture from someone. So surround yourself with people who are reminding you to be dedicated to. Every Sunday morning, I'm part of a group of ministers here in Denison. Every Sunday morning, I get a text from one of the ministers here in Denison, a word of encouragement as we start our Sundays, and it's especially geared towards people like me that are going to be in front of people speaking the word of God. But begin the day with dedication. Make sure that you start your day connected to the vine. Throughout the day, invite the presence of God to keep you connected to the vine. Man, you know that there are people or situations in your life that, I mean, they're chopping at you, you know, and they're trying to disconnect you from the vine. So throughout the day, make sure that you're reconnecting with Scripture. Make sure that that you have regular intervals in your life, Scriptures that you can call to mind that remind you that you are connected. Maybe just this simple verse, I am the vine, you are the branches. You need to say that over again, you know, 10, 2, whatever it is. Every time of the day, you need to have these contact points. Will you experience and invite back in the presence of God? God, help me to bear fruit. Maybe you have an important meeting, maybe whatever it might be, just to have those times. And then at the night, there's this discipline called examine, and there are five different elements of that. This is just a pattern, but something that you may want to incorporate in your life. And so there's these five R's. And so this is at night. And I hope... I was taught really young, you need to say your prayers before you go to bed. You know, didn't your parents tell you that? All right, and so that, what a blessing it is. For I hear my mom say your prayers before you go to bed. You know? And so I try to end each day with some prayer, some spiritual reflection with God. And so it seems to be good for me. So pray. But at night, practice this discipline called examine. Relish the moments that went well and all the gifts that I have today. All right, God, man, today I saw you bearing fruit. Man, I had patience with this person that was beyond me. I didn't know I could have patience. So, or God, I just felt the sense of joy in this relationship or maybe in this accomplishment, whatever it may be. But then just go through at the end of the night and relish how God has worked in your life. And then request the Spirit to lead me through my review of the day. All right, so Spirit, I invite you now, help me to see my day as you saw it, not just as how I saw it. And then you review the day so the Spirit could reveal to you. Maybe he'll reveal to you some things that were positive, some fruit that you bore. Maybe the Spirit will reveal some ways that you were not a fruit bearer. And so repent of any mistakes or failures. And this is not so that you just fill yourself with all this guilt, but you're just reflecting on your life. And man, I wasn't a fruit bearer there. I let some words slip. I said some things I shouldn't have said. I didn't do some things that I should have done. And so just repent of those and then resolve in concrete ways to live tomorrow well. I need to apologize to that person that I said these cruel words to. Right? Or I need to speak to someone where I should have spoken, or whatever it might be. And so at the end of the day, use that as a time to reconnect to that vine. Without this connection, we may be able to keep up the appearance of fruit bearing. But if we're not connected, then all of that is not going to bring us peace. Doing good things is going to be overwhelming to us. And it's going to wear us out. It's going to feel just like an obligation. Oh, I've got to be nice. I've got to be good. I've got to do this. I've got to say that. If we're not connected to the vine, we may be able to do that to some degree, but we're just going to be weighed down by that. It's only because we're connected to the vine, where the Spirit is flowing into our lives, that these things are going to bring us peace in our lives. Eventually, if it's just under obligation, if you're just trying to produce fruit on your own, you may be able to do that for a little while, but it's going to be impossible to keep up, and you're going to fail, and you're not going to produce fruit. So stay connected to the vine. All right, there's a second reality to draw from this passage that Jesus talks about. He says, prepare to be pruned. All right, prepare to be pruned. So peace, bearing fruit brings peace only in submitting ourselves to the gardener's pruning. And this is what he says in verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. There's a lot of warning here also. If you're not bearing fruit, that's bad. those branches are just cast aside. All right. We've got to be fruit bearers, connected to the vine. But then he also says, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. All right, so there may be some things in your life that are keeping you from being the fruit bearer that God wants you to be. And so there's this pruning process. It could be sin. Anthony brought up Hebrews chapter 12. Let us cast aside that sin that so easily entangles us. All right? So God, maybe you need to clip that out of your life. But there may be some other things in our lives which are not outright sins, but they're attachments that we have that God is saying, you know, that's not bearing fruit. That may be a lot of fun. You may be enjoying it. And I'm not saying that we can't have anything that's not fun, but there may be some things that we are occupying ourselves with so much that God is saying that needs to be removed from our life. Maybe some attitudes. Let's admit it. We're not perfect, are we? Let's admit it. We need to be pruned. But you see, what brings peace is knowing that through those pruning processes, that's going to enable us to bear more fruit. And so you may be going through a difficult stage in your life where you're facing or battling with a sin, battling with a relationship that is keeping you from being a fruit bearer, or just something in your life. And as God works in your life to remove that, instead of just looking at God, oh God, you're so mean, you don't have my concerns at all in mind, we can be pruned and have peace because we can say to God, I'm going through this process and I'm going to bear even more fruit because of that. I want to show you this video uses another imagery about our relationship with God, and it's not pruning, so to say, but it's looking at ourselves as a sculpture that God is putting together. Okay.
Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, but I want to. So I go to God and I pray, Dear Heavenly Father, would you do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son? Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hi.
Oh, who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
You're not God.
No, I am.
Okay, if you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
You are God. What's that about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Let's get busy.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up things in your life that don't belong in your life. And start right here. Your anger.
Ow!
I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrongest of ways. You compare yourself to others instead of me. And you lie. You tell little white lies. You're so afraid of confrontation. You're becoming a people pleaser.
Okay, time out. I think you've done some really good work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away, because ultimately, you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, but when I look like Jesus, people get uncomfortable, and I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
No, what I'm saying is you've grown me to here. Maybe we take a break from each other for a while, all right? And then I'll stay here, and then you come back, and we can grow some more.
You never just take a break from me. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but you never just plateau. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, here we go.
Can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Okay, sorry.
This right here, that secret sin, that thing that you run to whenever you're hurting, you're angry, you're lonely, you're tired. Do you want to keep rearranging this in your life, or do you want me to chisel it out?
Chisel
it. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's your whole life.
This hurts, okay? I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you are doing in your life that are insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life.
I know, but I've let you down so many times, God.
No, you were never holding me up.
Okay, then chisel away. But just be prepared for what you're gonna find in there, because I know who's inside there. God, I get up every morning and I hate what I see in the mirror, because inside is a scared, stupid kid. And I try, but I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. So chisel away and just know what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices, so many critics for far too long that are not for me. And you've bought into the lie. You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night, at the end of the day, you think you're junk. I don't take time to make junk. I want to show you something about my love. Reach in your back pocket.
It's a page from a notebook when I was in college. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
Dear God, did I hear you right? You said you want to use me. But I feel really useless. But if you can take this life, this mess of a life I have, and do with it what you want, I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at.
It's gonna be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was gonna be easy when you said yes to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's?
No, not the way you see yourself, or you try so desperately for others to see you. But maybe for the first time in your life, the way I made you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. You are an original masterpiece.
And God is working through you. He's producing fruit. He wants you to find life and peace in that. Jesus says you got to stay connected to the vine, endure pruning, bear fruit, and you'll be at peace. Let's pray once again. Father God, help us to see how you're using us. Father, you've created within us. You've given us the Spirit that is just producing this wonderful fruit in our families, in our workplaces, in our schools, and in our communities, all around us. Father, we are just living the life of the kingdom and bringing that into the lives of others. And Father, for this church, if collectively we're just doing so many things for you. And Father, we can see how a life given over to you just bears all this beautiful fruit that tastes so delicious. It just brings life to this world. And Father, help us to see that's because you are working through us. But Father, help us also to recognize that you have created within us this amazing potential to bear even more fruit. And so Father, we submit to your chiseling, we submit to your pruning. And Father, we just want to envision all the wonderful things that you can do through us. Father, you have created each one of us as a masterpiece. Father, we are all connected to this life-giving vine, and all of this fruit is just waiting to blossom from us. Father, gives us such peace to know that you are working in us and through us. Father, you have created us in your image, to reflect your image, to bring the kingdom of God into this world. What an honor and privilege it is to be a branch on your vine. And Father, we are grateful for the fruit that's being produced. Father, just help each one of us. Father, help us to find peace in devoting ourselves to this great work of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song of what we believe. We believe that God is God, that God is working in us, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that the Spirit is working within us. And it's on this foundational belief that God is going to use us to be fruit bearers. So let's stand together and sing.